Hello, everyone. It's good to be with you again on this fourth Life School gathering, the fourth gathering of the Seat of the Soul Life School.
Yeah, and thank you for greeting everyone today, Gail. I'm so excited to be here, and I want to say it's so amazing to be able to talk to you and know that some of you will be listening now and others will be listening later, and that you'll be able to hear this whenever you want to. I'm so excited about that and love being here with you live.
So we have a special topic for this fourth session of the Seat of the Soul Life School. And this topic is the heart. This is a topic that is at the core of everything that you'll be doing in creating authentic power. And more than that, it's at the core of everything that you'll be doing as you're evolving, as you're developing a life of meaning and purpose and awareness and joy and vitality and fulfillment. The heart is involved in all of these things. Pardon me, I hope that we eliminated that static. So what is it really about the heart, and why is the heart so important now to all that we do? We have entered a new evolutionary phase. And it's not just phase 16 after phase 15. This is a change in our evolution that has never happened before. It's unprecedented. The only change of this magnitude was the genesis of humanity. And now humanity is evolving in a different way than it was just a short while ago. A short while ago, most of humanity was confined to the perceptions of the five senses, to what we could see and taste and touch and hear and smell. Now that's changed. Our expansion, our perception is expanding far beyond the limitations of the five senses. We're beginning to sense ourselves as more than minds and bodies. We're beginning to sense our world and our experiences is more than random, but is meaningful and purposeful. And we're beginning to sense the universe as alive and wise and compassionate. All of this is multisensory perception, perception beyond the five senses. And that brings us into the direct experience. That brings us into direct experiences that cannot be articulated adequately by the intellect. And it also brings us into experiences that can't be, I was going to say figured out, but aren't consistent. For example, aren't consistent to the mind. Mm. For example, we tell you that your soul is in eternity, and that you, your personality, are in the Earth School, and time is an experience of the Earth School. Time, matter, space, duality, those things don't exist for your soul. So your soul doesn't exist in time, and yet it evolves. That is something that the mind cannot grasp. It sends a signal, disconnect, cannot compute, and it can't. And your experiences can't grasp it either. This is one example of the kinds of experience that multisensory perception is bringing into your life. Another might be looking at what other people would experience as a tragedy and seeing that it's not a tragedy, seeing it from an impersonal perspective, the perspective of the soul, in which you see that there is karmic necessity involved in this experience, and there is learning potential being offered to all involved in this experience. This is not the kind of thing that the five senses can agree with, or the mind can agree with. Therefore, the time has come now for a higher order of logic and understanding than the five sensory order of logic and understanding. The logic and understanding of the five senses originates in the mind. And the mind has limitations that cannot be overcome now that we are moving in to the domain of multisensory perception and a new mode of evolving. This requires a higher order of logic and understanding, and that higher order of logic and understanding originates in the heart. Therefore, using and absorbing this higher order of logic and understanding requires close attention to your feelings. Your heart cannot exist apart from your feelings, from your emotions. And so one major difference between multisensory and five-sensory humans is that multisensory humans understand and recognize emotions as very important, important in their own spiritual development. Five-sensory humans don't put much importance on emotions. If they could, they'd get rid of their emotions. They look at their emotions or an emotional experience as something like pain that isn't really necessary and doesn't serve a purpose. It's like an inflamed appendix. And then if we could, we'd have it removed surgically. But how can you remove your emotions? You can't. But as you become multisensory, as you begin to see what's necessary now for your own evolution, you begin to see that emotions are very important to your evolution, because your emotions enable you to distinguish what within you is of your personality and what within you is of your soul. Now, the creation of authentic power, which is now required for our evolution, requires you to understand and to experience the difference. Without awareness of your emotions, you can't distinguish what within you originates in fear and what within you originates in love.
I wanted to give an example.
Please.
One thing that I noticed about myself, I noticed that I was talking to Gary about actually this morning, that I told him I felt uncomfortable talking to a camera and not being able to see all of you that are listening to this. And so I began to explore that and why that is. Before, I just noticed that I was feeling that way and did my best. But I wanted to share it with you because what I love is that I'm noticing that there's a part of me that is based in fear, that doesn't think that it's going to do it this right, that is afraid that it's a live video and that if I don't do it right, that it's not going to come out well and you won't be able to understand what I have to say. So it's concerned about itself. But when I feel that in my body and I notice its thoughts and I challenge it, that challenge comes because I do know that I have a higher order of reasoning and understanding that I do my best to always follow. It comes from my heart, and that way I'm in touch with my intuition to understand what actually was going on. So in other words, my emotions told me that something was going on with me, and then I decided I wanted to talk to Gary about it because I meditated about it this morning because I wanted to make sure that I would feel very comfortable talking to you, because it's as if you're right in front of me. It's not that we're separated anyway, but from a five-sensory point of view and from my frightened parts, we were. So I just wanted to say that.
How did your emotions draw your attention to this as something worthwhile, this exploration?
Well, I noticed I was feeling uncomfortable, especially, I think, mostly it was a slight discomfort in my heart, in my heart area.
In your chest area?
Chest area, mostly in my chest area.
And anything else?
That was a little bit in my solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, you know, uncomfortable in that area.
Well, and how did you feel uncomfortable? What was the
sensation? Meaning it was...
Was it in the center of your solar plexus?
Yeah,
or the right or the left? Or?
No, more in the center.
In the center.
More in the center.
And was it the whole size of your stomach or the size of a lemon or a quarter?
No, it was more like a grapefruit.
A grapefruit.
Yeah,
took up a lot of part, big part of your.
It's a pretty big part, right? It was a pretty big part.
And what did this Feel, but what was the sensation in this grapefruit size area in the center of your solar plexus?
It felt kind of tight and
pleasant. Tight?
No. Not. It was tight and it was unpleasant. You know, that's more. That's really what I felt.
Was it painful in any way?
Well, more uncomfortable than painful.
Uncomfortable.
I'd say more uncomfortable.
Okay, so can you imagine a five-sensory human in the 1940s or even in the 1960s or the early part saying, well, I feel discomfort in my solar plexus area. Most people say, where's that? And they say it's about the size of a grapefruit, so it's very big and it's uncomfortable. It feels tight. In the 1940s or even in the early 1960s, most people would say, so what? You must be a hypochondriac to be describing these kind of things to me. But you're not a hypochondriac as you begin to pay attention to your emotions, and especially to those that are painful, because they give you information, and the information is that there is fear active in you, and that if you act on that fear, you will create consequences that are not as constructive as the consequences that you would create if you acted in love. All of this would be virtually, that means literally, nonsense, nonsensical. It doesn't have to do with the five senses to people who were evolving as five sensory humans, evolving by surviving and surviving by changing the external world. That's what's different. We're multi-sensory. We're evolving now by growing spiritually, and we're growing spiritually by creating authentic power. And creating authentic power requires awareness of your intentions. It requires that too, but it requires awareness of your emotions, emotional awareness.
And it also helps to know about your thoughts.
Yes.
Now, because I not only felt those things, but I also noticed my thoughts, and I've been having them for a while.
So what were your thoughts?
Each time we would, I would think, well, I'm able to be able to be present and be with people when I'm in live with everyone at an event like the Journey to the Soul, or I do fine when I actually do the video.
Let me ask you this: were you okay with those thoughts, or were you critical of yourself, knowing that you were uncomfortable giving a live video broadcast?
Well, it wasn't actually that I was making myself wrong. It was more like I was giving myself an excuse for why I was uncomfortable. It wasn't that I so much made myself wrong. It wasn't really that. It was like that. So I had an excuse.
Well, let's see if you can apply this then.
Yes.
A frightened part of your personality is active, then you know that you have painful or at best uncomfortable physical sensations in the vicinity of your energy processing centers, such as your throat, your chest, and your solar plexus. That's how you know emotionally.
Right.
You can also know cognitively by looking at your thoughts. Now, if your thoughts are critical in any way of someone else or of yourself, then you also know that fear is present within you. Now, in this case, I'm not sure exactly how you knew from that thought that fear was present. But whenever you're critical of yourself, maybe there was a part of you that felt as though your performance was not going to be what you judged it should be if you were looking into a camera and not looking into the faces of people. Was it something like that? And thinking that you should be comfortable both ways?
Well, I'm sure it would have gotten down to that if I had, you know, continued along those thoughts.
Well, that's important to get down to
it. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it would have gone there, right. But I did know, but I'm able to, when I hear a thought like that, I already know that's not coming from love, it's coming from fear.
How do you know that?
I know, let's see, how do I know that? I know that because I am aware of what loving thoughts are in me. I'm aware.
What are they? What are the loving thoughts in you?
I want to do my best to contribute. I want to support. I am interested only in creating authentic power and being in spiritual partnership. They're always non-judgmental. They're always
Okay, well, those are intentions. So what I'm thinking is, I'm going to maybe give you some leading thoughts. when you're in a loving part of your personality, I'm going to suggest that you're grateful for what you're doing.
Grateful, appreciative.
Appreciative.
Feel the awe of what I see around me. Absolutely.
And you're patient.
Absolutely, I'm
with
patient.
Others and with yourself.
And I feel open to everyone, no matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing.
So you feel a caring.
Yes.
Now, are you feeling patient with yourself when you find yourself thinking that you're on a live video broadcast and therefore you won't be able to do as well as when you're on a when you're speaking to people personally?
You know, I hadn't thought of it that way about being impatient or patient, but I think that this frightened
part... Is there any part of you that would want to have yourself a different way?
Well, okay, so that's what I want to finish. So I feel like what was happening is that this frightened part was so familiar to me that I didn't realize that where it was going. But I did notice the discomfort, and I noticed some thoughts. But I know that ultimately it would have been going in a way that would have made me wrong, made me feel like I'm not living up to what I should.
In other words, it would be critical of you.
Exactly, or critical of you because you're the one who you're speaking, and you know why, you know what good am I, and it would have gone on.
Now we're getting down to it,
yeah.
And what it is the distinction between love and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you have to work, like Linda's working, to really see what it is that's going on inside of her. Uncomfortable physical sensations, at least a couple, one of them that she talked about the most in her solar plexus. And now thoughts, when she looks at her thoughts, these are not thoughts of gratitude or appreciation.
No.
I'm so happy to be talking to you by video. I'm so
right.
grateful for this technology. I'm so grateful to be alive and here with Gary. They were other kind of thoughts that were not giving her joy.
Yes.
Whenever that happens in her, in me, in you, then you know that a frightened part of your personality is active. Now, here's where we come back again to the subject of this webinar, and that is the heart. The heart. Because with multisensory perception come experiences that are important from one perspective, the multisensory perspective, the perspective of the soul, the perspective of your own evolution, not bound by fear, time, space, matter, or duality.
Mm-hmm.
And that, the experience of that, the using of that, is the higher order of logic and understanding. People in the 1950s, people in the 1850s, people in the 1650s would not understand or even be interested in the kind of conversation that we're having now. But you are interested in it, we are interested in it, and millions upon millions of people are becoming interested in exactly these kinds of conversations because they know they're in pain, because they long to understand how they can use that pain to grow spiritually. They long to grow spiritually because they know they have gifts to give. They know they're alive for a reason, not just to go to work, not just to make money, not just anymore even to raise a family. That itself is beautiful, but within that family, the mother, the father, the siblings, all are beginning to experience multisensory perception, and they want to move in the direction of meaning and purpose and joy and fulfillment. And in the old days, for a male, that would have been providing and protecting for a family. Now for a new male, it's creating authentic power. In the old days, moving toward fulfillment and joy for the old female would have been having and a family and raising it. For the new female, it can be that, but it can be many other things as well. It means creating authentic power.
Right. You know, I was thinking about that when we just finished this book, and I was thinking about how artists or people that are playing on a sports team and that have a championship team or in certain ways, when someone does something that they're born to do, they feel so good. It's like an experience of authentic power. However, what we're talking about is how you consciously create authentic power when you don't feel like it and when you're not in the zone.
Yes. Now, I want to suggest that that is not like an experience of authentic power. It is an experience
yes.
of authentic power.
Yes.
When you,
thank you
are giving to the whole, when you're in the zone, when you're in the groove, when you're in a creative mode, when you're giving all that you can, and you are filled with joy and meaning and purpose, and you forget fear, you even forget to be afraid, that's an experience of authentic power.
Yeah.
People have had that. By the way, the book that we were reading, we recommend to you, is called The Boys in the Boat. It's a remarkable story of a group of young men from the University of Washington who came together to row in a good rowing program there and went on to win the 1936 Olympics in Berlin.
Held they won the gold medal for
won the gold medal in the eight-oar crew with Hitler watching in Nazi Germany. And it is a beautiful story, and you will see in it, and in all stories like that, that when an athlete is in the zone, when an athlete is a team player, completely a team player, and is filled with the present moment and the joy and the electricity of it and everything going just as it should, that's authentic power.
An experience of it.
An experience of it.
Yes.
An experience of it and authentic power is the same thing in that moment. But what do you do when you're not in the zone? What do you do when you're critical of your roommate? What do you do when he's, if you're in an oar boat and he's always off rhythm? What do you do when he doesn't work out enough and he's not pulling his own load, or that's how you look at it? Then how do you experience authentic power? What do you do when you're critical and judgmental of people and you have pain inside you? How do you then return to love? How do you choose love? How do you even recognize love? And for that matter, how do you recognize fear? That's what you're learning as you develop emotional awareness. That's what we're talking about, and all of these things we're talking about, and so many more. All of the things that we've talked about in the Life School and that we will, they all come together for you. They all fit into your life in a satisfying way because they are part of a higher order of logic and understanding. They fit into it, and you are using that. When you hear what Linda and I are saying, and if you resonate with it, if you say, yeah, I can understand that. My golly, when I'm in pain, there's a meaning for that. And what could be the meaning? As you begin to learn about karma, as you begin to learn about responsible choice, you begin to see in practical terms that if you act on fear, you're going to create things that you don't want to create. And when you encounter them, if you're not aware of the higher order of logic and understanding, you're going to say, why me? Why did this happen to me? What did I do to deserve this? Well, as you understand karma, as you begin to experience it, as you look for the meaning in your interactions with other people, even those that in the past you might have considered unfortunate, bad luck, rotten luck, you can see it wasn't rotten luck. It's exactly what you needed to experience. And that is an experience of the higher order of logic and understanding. And we're talking to you about that in this Life School session so that you can recognize this higher order of logic and understanding, because it conflicts with the five sensory order of logic and understanding. Actually, it does not conflict. It doesn't conflict with anything. But the five sensory order of logic and understanding that originates in the mind conflicts with so much of what is now coming to stage center in your life. The need to be aware of your experiences, of your emotional experiences. The need to distinguish within yourself between love and fear.
Yes.
The need to consciously choose fear even when you're jealous, even when you're angry, even when you're hating. That's when you can choose love. In other words, can you forgive? Now, from the higher order of logic and understanding, you can look at forgiveness as a spiritual step, and in some cases, a giant spiritual step, because you are challenging that part of your personality that originates in fear, that cannot forgive, cannot possibly forgive. But if you set the intention to forgive, and in some cases you need to pray to forgive, to be given the help, the elevated light, the assistance to forgive, then you are challenging that part of your personality. But there are many people in the past and even in our present who will live their entire lives wanting to get even, not being able to forgive, not being able to forgive being abused sexually by someone who should have been caring for them, not being able to forgive an alcoholic parent who abused them in so many ways and should have been loving them. But that lack of forgiveness and that judgment come from fear. The experience was real. But if a person is still thinking about it 30 or 40 or 70 years later, that is a lack of forgiveness. That's the baggage that fear imposes on that person. And it's going to stay on that person until that person makes the decision to experience it, the full pain of it, and challenge it. And that person may be you. It was me. In some cases, it still is, and I have to challenge it. This is the creation of authentic power. And all of this is our way now to meaning and purpose. It's the only way. And I'm not saying that in a dogmatic sense. This is the way, the only way. What I am saying is that love is the way.
Mm.
If you want to move into your full meaning, into the full freedom of your heart and all of the creativity of your soul, you can't do it while you're bound by fear, while you're in a cage of anger or jealousy or resentment, while you're feeling superior or inferior, while you can't stop thinking about sex or watching pornography or shopping or gambling or smoking or eating or overeating or... can't. You understand what I mean. And you will continue to do these things until you challenge them, heal them, and understanding that, seeing the reality of it, is seeing and experiencing and using a higher order of logic and understanding.
I was trying to fit that in with what my experience was, because if I... So to me, the five sensory order of logic and understanding is really based in fear.
Yes.
So it comes from frightened parts of my personality. So if I feel uncomfortable with this video, being able to do this video live
beloved, can I say this?
Yes.
The five sensory order of logic and understanding originates in the mind.
Yes.
The higher order of logic and understanding originates in the heart.
Yes.
That is the difference. There were people, all of us in fact, virtually all of us while we were five sensory, that were within the limitations of five sensory perception, but not all of our experiences came from fear.
Right.
There are experiences of love that five sensory people have
also. Of course, of course. But when I am in fear, I'm definitely... and I believe that it's the five sensory order of logic and understanding that I'm using to make my decisions. In other words, from fear.
Yes, yes. The five sensory, I see what you're saying, the five sensory order of logic and understanding, five sensory logic and understanding that comes from the mind, would, for example, say, that person hurt me. They betrayed me. I trusted that person and they took my money. They took my wife, my husband. And I'm going to get even with that person. That is five sensory logic and understanding. Or they're going to, or they'll say something like, well, I'm going to get another wife. I'm going to get another husband. I'm going to make more money. That also is five sensory logic and understanding. In other words, the pursuit of external power comes from is an expression of the five sensory order of logic and understanding. The five sensory order of logic and understanding is oriented in the perception of a world that is limited to those five senses, that is physical, that is limited to cause and effect, that is a physical cause and a physical effect. But as we become multi-sensory, we begin to see that things that happen to us are not necessarily caused in the way that the five senses can see, because they don't see very much. If someone betrays you, you don't know if you and that person are exchanging roles that you played with one another in another time and in another place. Perhaps that experience of betrayal that brought into being your experience, the original one, happened centuries ago.
Exactly.
That is a multisensory perception, and that understanding is the higher order of understanding and logic.
Yes, and I was thinking of a few other things that we might want to share that actually you wrote these down, that five sensory, the five sensory order comes from the mind, as you said before, and the higher order of logic and understanding comes from the heart.
Right.
And if you're in the five sensory, so let's five sensory order would be outside world is random, and the outside world is meaningful would be the higher.
That's right. It exactly. For example, someone limited to the five senses would say, if I want to avoid, if I want to feel good, I've got to change the world so that I'll feel good. I've got to get the house, the partner, the skis, the car, the job that I want. But if you're looking from the higher order of logic and understanding, you'll see that if I want to feel joyful, then I need to find fear in me that's preventing me from feeling joyful and challenge it. Change something in me instead of change something in the outer world. That's the big change.
So in other words, I'm seeking happiness when I'm in fear. I'm trying to get happy, trying to find a way to be happy. But
well, that way is to change the outside world.
Right, to make myself happy.
If you're in the five, if you're limited to five senses,
right,
to the perception of the five senses.
But when I am in my heart, and I'm using the higher order of logic and understanding, I enable myself to feel joy. I'm not seeking anything; I just feel it whenever I do.
Yes.
Because I'm coming from my heart.
And in order to feel joy, though, requires being in a part of your personality that originates in love,
yes,
and not in fear.
Yes.
So how do you do that? By recognizing one, by distinguishing one from the other.
Yes.
In my experience, it's not enough when I'm angry to say, this is painful and I'm not going to be angry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because the anger continues. Because you don't really have a choice about what you're experiencing in the moment. But you do have a choice about what you're going to do about it.
Right.
For example, you can indulge it. You can act on it. And that creates painful consequences. Or you can respond to it. That means make a conscious choice of what you're going to do when you feel, in this case, angry. And instead of indulging the anger, shouting, withdrawing emotionally, you can check your intuition. You can ask yourself, what's the best way to handle this?
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, if you're too angry, if that part of you is so controlling your thoughts, you don't think of that, you can set the intention not to be controlled by your anger. So not to speak in anger, not to act in anger, even while you're feeling anger.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you can access a part of your personality that says, I have a choice. I can accept what's happening rather than become angry about it, and then I'll be in a clearer position to see what I can do about it in a way that won't harm me or anyone else.
Right, exactly.
It's a huge difference between seeing things from the perception of the five senses and understanding them only with the mind, to seeing your reality, your world, yourself,
mm-hmm.
and the universe in ways that are beyond the perception of the five senses.
Right.
Just as real to you, and then using those things to grow spiritually,
mm-hmm.
and understanding that you can see them now so that you can grow spiritually if you choose. If you choose.
Right. Right. So in other words, instead of saying from a fear, the world is against me, when I'm speaking from my heart and challenging my fear, I know that the world always supports me.
Exactly.
Always.
Exactly. To say that the world is against me, or is cruel, or
mm-hmm.
is vindictive, or is dead,
or I'm a victim,
just random, or I'm a victim,
mm-hmm.
is all a result of judgments made by the mind.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not metaphysical like that. It's a result of fear.
Mm-hmm.
It is a result of fear. And every frightened part of your personality strives to pursue external power, to manipulate and to control others and the world outside of itself so that it will feel better and safer. And in the past, we used to think, I feel angry. I need to do this. But now, you can recognize a part of my personality feels angry. A part of my personality needs to do this. A part of my personality needs to do things that will create destructive consequences for me. But I don't want to do that. And in fact, my evolution requires that I not do that. It requires that I make a responsible choice. It requires that I act from love, even while I'm experiencing fear. It requires that I align my personality with my soul. It requires that I align myself with those parts of my personality that are already aligned with my soul. The intentions of my soul are harmony, cooperation, sharing, and reverence for life. And when I'm not feeling those things, to align myself with them and act on those intentions. That way you align yourself with your soul.
Well, that's exactly why I'm talking to you and on this video today, because the frightened parts of my personality that felt uncomfortable about doing this live video would have taken me away from doing it at all and saying, well, you already know how to do it. I don't need to be here. I'm useless. I'm not going to be contributing to this. You know what you want to say, and I don't really have anything to say. That's what those frightened parts of me would say, and they want to manipulate the world so that they don't have to do anything more than they feel comfortable doing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
And what I've learned from the whole time we've been together, for sure, and before that too, but particularly since we've been together, I've been learning about how so often, in fact, always, my frightened parts keep me limited. But I've had to stretch myself over and over again in so many different situations, because I know that the frightened parts of my personality will keep me limited, keep my thoughts limited, keep my whole life limited. And my intention is not to have that happen. My intention is to create authentic power, to be able to give my gifts in the fullest way that I can every moment. And that's why I'm here with you today, and that's why we're talking about higher order of logic and understanding.
It is indeed.
Yes.
It is indeed. So you can see that there are every way that you look at the difference between the way we did look at things logically, our logic and our understanding, and the way that we do now as we begin to employ a higher order of logic and understanding is huge, is significant, is, for example, instead of saying the external world is the most important thing, we now can say and see and experience the internal world, my internal world, is the most important thing. Why is that? Because until I have the courage to explore that, to become aware of it, then my internal world will continue to be unconscious. And these unconscious parts of my personality will continue to create my experiences, my karma, my life. And I myself am finished with creating my experiences unconsciously. Why? Because they're too painful. And I've created too many of them already. I don't want to continue creating pain unconsciously for me and others. And if I create it for others, I'm creating painful karma for myself. But it's more than just me, me, me. There's also now a deep desire to contribute rather than to take.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
To give rather than exploit. To think about what I can give to others, what you can give to others, not in a caretaking way, but from the heart, no second agendas, instead of what I can get for myself. These are big differences. These are big differences. And we're all beginning to be able to see them within a few generations. All of us will be multi-sensory, and that means that the higher order of logic and understanding will have supplanted the five sensory. But it doesn't mean that as we all become multi-sensory that love replaces fear. That's something that each of us need to do within ourselves. A higher order of logic and understanding gives us the framework, gives us the context in which all of this happens. From the five sensory logic and understanding, emotions are not important.
Not only that, the thoughts that we're talking about are illogical. They don't make any sense.
Correct. And from the higher order of logic and understanding, emotions are very important.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we are talking about makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense how? Something that you've read about, something that you've learned, something that you can figure out? Not so much. But how about in terms of what you can experience for yourself? How about in terms of what really gives you meaning and purpose? How about in terms of moving in the direction of your own joy, of your own
mm-hmm.
meaning, of your own vitality? How about in terms of giving the gifts that you were born to give? Just that idea itself is part of the higher order of logic and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
From a five-sensory perspective and the logic and understanding that accompanies that, you weren't born to give any gifts. Your life is random, a random combination of a random meeting of two individuals who became your parents, a random combination of genes and chromosomes that created your natal characteristics, and from there on, more random interactions, just like you're being bounced around by forces beyond your control, but you are not. There are so many forces beyond our control, and they are all beneficent, they are all loving, they are all in support of our spiritual development. And if you ask yourself, well, then how can something tragic like AIDS or cancer or the death of a child serve my spiritual development? Then you are directly challenging fear. You are directly saying to yourself, there is a higher order of logic and understanding, and I will allow it to guide me, to guide my perceptions, to guide my experiences, to guide my choices. But I will make my choices according to that higher order of logic and understanding, the logic and understanding of the heart, not of the mind.
Yes. Beautiful. That's beautiful.